In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, if you are new to Anglicanism, you might be interested to know that we preach using a lectionary, which is a three-year cycle of Sunday morning readings. Each Sunday we have an Old Testament lesson, a psalm, an epistle lesson, and a gospel reading. And these are all prescribed for us each week. Now, some weeks the lessons just sort of jump out at me, and I see one and I think, I can't wait to preach on that lesson. And other weeks the lessons are a bit more challenging. And that's probably a good thing, because occasionally we want to hear preaching on challenging bits of Scripture. If I just preached on John 3:16 every week, we might get kind of bored, I would think. Now, this week's lesson from Jeremiah is perhaps one of those examples of a challenging bit of Scripture. This is certainly not the parable of the Good Shepherd or a story like Moses parting the Red Sea. Our lesson begins with Jeremiah saying, O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. Wow. Talk about challenging. Suffice it to say, I don't think Matt Redman or Chris Tomlin are going to write a worship song based on these verses anytime soon. What in the world is going on here? What is Jeremiah talking about? And why would they include that in our Sunday morning lectionary? Well, hopefully we can make a little more sense out of this morning. But before we get into Jeremiah's lament, and this is the fifth such lament so far in Jeremiah's prophetic book, it's important to understand some of the context, not only of who Jeremiah was and the situation he was preaching into, but the direct context of this lament that he's making. And Jeremiah's prophetic ministry took place during the late 7th and early 6th centuries B.C. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, mostly because of the many laments that we see in his book. And he prophesied mostly around Jerusalem and in Jerusalem itself, and he foretold the destruction of the city and of the temple by the Babylonians, and he foresaw the coming exile into Babylon for the Jewish people. And so with a message like this, you can imagine Jeremiah was not the most popular person at a party, unless, of course, you like doom and gloom. To understand our reading today, you need to go back into chapter 19. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up. Let's see here. Our reading from Jeremiah this morning begins on page 822. So if you go back to the previous chapter, to the end of 19, what we find is that Jeremiah has returned to Jerusalem after being sent to Topheth to prophesy. And upon his return, he enters the temple and he begins prophesying again. And he says, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing upon this city and upon all its towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their neck, refusing to hear my words. Now you would think, with a message like this, that Jeremiah would endear himself in the hearts and minds of the religious leaders of the day. But surprisingly, you would be wrong about that. They were actually not big fans of Jeremiah. And the chief officer of the temple, a priest named Pashur, as a result of this prophecy, has Jeremiah beaten and then put into the stocks in the temple. And then when he releases Jeremiah the next day, instead of going on his way, Jeremiah decides to prophesy against Pashur himself. He tells him, The Lord does not call your name, Pashur, but terror on every side. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. They shall fall by the sword of their enemies while you look on. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. He shall carry them captive to Babylon and shall strike them down with the sword. Moreover, I will give all the wealth of this city, all its gains, all its prized belongings, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah into the hand of their enemies, who shall plunder them and seize them and carry them to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity. To Babylon you shall go, and there you shall die. And there you shall be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied falsely. Well, it's no wonder Jeremiah is in a bad mood when we get into chapter 20. And as we begin his lament in verse 7, we need to realize that Jeremiah is in great despair. He has been given a very unpopular message, and he has been told to preach it to people who don't want to hear it. And he gets beaten and humiliated when he does preach it. Now, how many of us would sign up for a job like that? Probably not many. We like to think that the more we do God's will, the more we follow His call for our lives, the better things turn out for us. But with Jeremiah, the more he follows God's will, the worse things seem to get for him. And so we can almost understand it when he cries out, "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me." One of the things that's important for us to remember here is that these verses are poetry within prophecy. And we have to understand that the different genres work in different ways. And so when we're reading poetry, we're not necessarily reading statements of fact, but rather we're reading emotion. Jeremiah is not saying factually that God has deceived him, but rather emotionally, that is how he feels. The word deceived that we read in our English translations is a bit harsh, and that same Hebrew word can also be translated as persuaded. But I think the harsh translation that the ESV gives us is justified here, because Jeremiah feels like he has been deceived, like God has made him do something that he didn't want to do, and now he's suffering the consequences of those actions. He feels like he's been excluded from his community. And the more he speaks, the worse it gets. He continues, "For whenever I speak, I cry aloud. I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and aversion all day long." Jeremiah feels abandoned. And yet, despite his despair, Jeremiah is compelled to continue. He says, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." It's as if he is compelled to obey God despite the consequences to himself. He knows that the people will not heed his warning, that even his friends are looking for him to fail. But Jeremiah knows that God is not necessarily calling him to be successful. You know, we think when God calls us to something that we're automatically going to succeed. But that's not what God is calling Jeremiah to. He's calling Jeremiah to be faithful, even though he's not going to succeed in what he is doing. And it's in the midst of this faithfulness of Jeremiah that that lament suddenly shifts. Suddenly we see the weeping prophet pronounce great confidence in the Lord. He says, "But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you have I committed my cause." Despite his travail, Jeremiah knows that God is with him and that ultimately God will prevail. Our lesson then closes with a song of praise. Jeremiah proclaims, "Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers." That's a very different place than he was at the beginning. Now, here's what I love about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is real. Jeremiah is a lot more like Spider-Man than Superman. I was always a Spider-Man fan. That's because Superman was just a little too perfect for me. You know, Superman was always made the right decisions. He always looked perfect. He could just put glasses on and no one knew who he really was. You know, bullets just bounce off of Superman. But Spider-Man struggles. Spider-Man sometimes has to question what the right thing is for him to do. Spider-Man can be hurt. And so it was always a lot easier for me to relate to Spider-Man because he was a lot more like me. And I think Jeremiah is a lot more like us. He's not this perfect, idealized character with every hair in place and a movie star smile. When God calls us to serve Him, we love to give excuses. We like to be like Moses and say, "Whoa, Lord, you've got the wrong person. I am certainly not qualified. You need to find someone else." And sometimes, like Jeremiah, God calls us to do what seems like a very impossible task. And it's not always fun. It's not always easy. And it's not even rewarding many times. And I will readily admit that I can relate to Jeremiah. I've had times in my own ministry when I felt discouraged or ridiculed or even forgotten. I've even, on occasions, considered leaving the ministry altogether and trying something else. But like Jeremiah, I eventually realized that I can't not do this. But even if you're not a prophet or a priest, I'm sure you've had times in your life when you felt this way, when you felt discouraged, when you felt despair. And I want to tell you, that's okay. The Bible is not filled with stories of perfect people with perfect faith. Instead, what we find are imperfect people who struggle just like we do, whose faith may not always be strong. King David cries out in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And Jesus himself echoes these very words from the cross. You know, David, Job, Jeremiah, even Jesus knew what it meant to feel despair. And so it should come as no surprise when we feel despair's cold hands wrap around our own hearts. But we don't need to feel guilty when that happens. There is no need to question our own faith at these times. Feeling despondent does not mean that we're bad Christians. It means that we're human. However, Although anguish is a reality for each and every one of us, it should always be a point along the way and never a final destination. Although Jeremiah starts by saying, "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived," he finishes with, "Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers." Psalm 22 as well concludes with David praising God when he says, "From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We give thanks and praise in the midst of our turmoil, not because we're in turmoil, but rather because in the midst of that, God is still God. He is still in control, and He will bring order even out of our greatest chaos. His is the glory and the power and the majesty forever and ever. Now, I've been at All Saints long enough to know that there are many wonderful people here who are going through some very trying times. My challenge to you all is that when you feel that despair, look for ways to praise God in the midst of it. Praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for His marvelous works. Praise Him for sending His Son so that our suffering will one day come to an end. As David says in Psalm 30, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Thank you, Lord, for giving us joy. Thank you, Lord, for taking us out of darkness and bringing us into the light. Thank you, Lord, that despair is temporary, but joy is eternal. Amen.